We welcome Sharon Weaver as our speaker today. Sharon earned a master's degree in divinity at Vanderbilt University, and she has held work positions as a teacher, nonprofit worker, and college professor. Sharon currently operates a consulting company called Spiritual Care Providers, and she teaches at MTSU. The title of Sharon's sermon is Oh Yes You Can, Claiming Resiliency. Let's welcome Sharon.
I love this. I walked in and I'm like, wow, look at this. And I like the reverberation that comes from the curtain. You know, when the choir started singing, I'm like, my goodness, it sounded like there were twice as many people in here, you know, and there's a crowd today. So that's good. I just really was impressed, and I like it. Welcome. I'm glad to see you all. Today's topic is resilience, and I have to cite my sources on this one, and there's two sources. One speaks to sort of how I get through the world, and that is my belief in, and sometimes, divine intervention. I won't describe divine after that. I don't know who or what or anything, but I appreciate it because, as it was mentioned today, I work at MTSU again. Back teaching full-time in addition to all the other things I do, and I'm grateful for it. But I was, let's say it was midnight, after midnight when I got home last night, and under doing good for others, which I don't make a checklist of, but I want to help. I've got the neighbor I told you about that was had cancer and was dying of cancer last time I was here. His brother was in, and he called to say, would you do me a favor? And I'm sure. You know, my brother needs to go to the airport. And I said, well, I'm preaching. Well, he goes early. And I said, okay, then I can do it as long as it can get to Murfreesboro by 10 o'clock. How early? And he said, he'll need to leave here at 4:30 in the morning. So Rick and I got home about 1. We caught a few hours and jumped in the car and took off. So I had divine intervention when I was looking through my notes. And I can tell you, Holy Scriptures came to me, and I would like to request, obviously, that you support this group, this body, this fellowship, but I want you to support the place where I get my Holy Scriptures from on behalf of me, and that would be pbs.org. Okay? There is a site called This Emotional Life. And I direct you to unabashedly, because this is too good. Now, there's nothing I could add to it. I mean, it is wonderful. And it's about resilience. It's about other things, emotional. So I wanted to be sure to cite this source right off the bat, because pull it up, download it, print it off. I know I'm going to have it bookmarked. And I hope you do as well. So let's start with, what is resilience? What does it mean to be resilient? And why does that even matter? You know, when I think of resilient, I sort of think of Marines or someone tough, you know, and Marines are tough. And then that's about it. Resilient, someone that just gets knocked down and comes back, knocks down and comes back. And you know what comes to my mind? I used to have, and this I'm, again, telling my age, but there was a Bozo the Clown for a long time punching bag, and it had big sand in the bottom, and you could get it, and it blew up, and it would be about shoulder height to me. I talk about teaching violence. You had one? When you get mad, you punch that Bozo, and he swings back, and he comes back again, you know? And so depending on your perspective, that could be, you know, getting that violence, or it could also be, well, hit me and I'm coming back for more, which sometimes eventually isn't a very bright thing to do. And no way did Bozo, unless you just turned around and was cheering yourself and he accidentally hit you in the back on the swing back, no way was he able to defend himself. So, you know, I don't know that that was really a good vision of resiliency, just coming back again and again without making some changes. But some of those things are in there, the toughness and the hard work, and then the coming back. So let's start with a definition first off. The definition for it is the capacity to withstand stress and catastrophe. Withstand stress and catastrophe.
Well, that sort of sounds like tough, then, doesn't it? And we measure stuff in the roads. Well, this will last. This will tough. It'll hold up to weather, or it'll hold up to the stress of all these cars passing on it. If you're building a bridge, it will hold up to the outside environment. So it makes you tough. It involves humans' ability to adapt, to change. I think of adaptation, and I'm thinking of morphing into something and someone. And I often say, if I look back on my life, I feel like I understand the Buddhist philosophy more and more because I feel like I've lived multiple lives. You know, I feel like I've been a person here that I'm not now, that I'm in this life, in this part. And that's okay. I think that's adaptation, evolution, whatever. It's also our ability to overcome risk and adversity. Okay, that's, again, sounds kind of tough, you know, overcome that risk and adversity. And it also involves the ability to rebuild. To rebuild. So that's all in that definition of resilience. So we are probably getting some things in our mind about people who can, no matter what, break through and do, you know, be tough and nothing seems to harm them. I had a friend who used to call them, that's the Teflon man. You know, nothing sticks to him. And that's not it. That's not it. Dismiss that if you can right now. Just know these are factors, but there's more factors. There's good news factors, and we're going to talk about that. Being resilient does not mean, and it does not mean, the absence of suffering, the absence of loss or pain. It doesn't mean that. In fact, you must have that. To become resilient. You must have that to become resilient. If you go through life, la, 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 everything is fine, everything is good, and everyone's making, oh, wait, here she comes, there's something in her way, let's move it out of the way. Oh, honey, you didn't succeed. Well, we'll give you this award anyway. And, oh, you didn't do this, we'll give you this one. You know, we just want to make your path easy. You know, and let's say your genes are good, because no matter how hard you try to make a path easy for someone else, guess what? We're born with stuff that's going to rear its ugly head sometime or another and go, gotcha. At sometimes very unfair moments. But let's say you got good genes. Let's say everything's there. Then how do you know you're resilient? I think you're called lucky. And you're never tested. Never tested. I don't know about you, but that man over there that I'm getting ready to marry pretty soon, he's been tested. I've laid a few tests on him myself. But he's tested, and I know, and I feel confident we'll weather whatever comes, you know, until we can't, which everybody has that point. Life catches up to us, and then there's that point. But until then, I want to have a good time. I want to enjoy life. I want to get out and make sure I'm a positive force out here, but also enjoying it when I'm doing it. You know, it's that positivity. I don't want backhanded positivity. I don't want positivity going, yeah, I'm here to help. Because this is life, and it's so bad. You know, I'm like, oh, you should have stayed home. You know, no, I'll do it without you. So being resilient doesn't mean there's an absence of loss of pain. You actually, as the Buddha talks about, that suffering, you cannot escape that unless you do go into some sort of shell and are so lucky that you don't care. The more you love, the more you're going to have pain. Just if you attach to the suffering of others. Now, you don't have to let it down, and there's all sorts of problems with attachment in Buddhism. And there's attachment and still caring. Some of the most caring people I know are Buddhists. And they're happy. And I'm like, how can you be so doggone happy and so much sorrow that you're willing to roll up your sleeves and get into? But this is not about Buddhism. I encourage you to explore that if you haven't. There's a lot of good things in there. But here is the other good news. Because I am not saying, put on your smiley face, you know, don't see any bad. I've got people who, don't even talk to me if you have any negative thing. Don't even want to talk about any bad. You know, it's, I can only accept positive energy. I'm like, okay. Okay, here's your, you know, rosy glasses to put on there, and good for you, and go over there. Being resilient does not mean positivity only. In fact, they've done research on couples who have suffered losses of their spouse. And 2 years later, they came back and found that people who were very negative, and saw themselves as victims were not doing as well. But the people who only saw positive were not doing as well either. But the people who recognize this is tough, and I don't like it, and the grief sometimes knocks the breath out of me. But then they said, but you know, I found friends and family, and I'm still here. Those people were doing the best. So they understood, yeah, this is bad. Yes, there's suffering, but there's also good in there. So again, going back to, it's an and also life. You know, don't look for the either or. It's and also, good and bad. So and the other thing that's good in there is it's a process. It's a process. It is not a, here's your resilience, here's your package, here's your package. It is the process, and I quote, the working through the emotions or effects of stress and painful events. It didn't say working through the good of life where you avoid all the bad. No, it is working through that muck, that stuff of life, that painful stuff that we had just as soon avoid, and the stuff I have said, if there is another lesson for me to learn, can I get the online course? Do I really have to be there? You know, and inevitably I do. Usually I drive myself right to it. But now let's think just a moment about where we're seeing that. If you need a real life example, tune into the media today or yesterday or any time the remainder of this year for Katrina. Look at the people of Katrina. Look at that city. The fact that we can even talk about it still being here, we can go visit. The fact that you went, Allie. And there are people still there, resilient, coming back. And people like you coming back to visit it. That's so powerful. I see you there. I see you, New Orleans. I'm coming back to visit. We're going to have a good time. You know, not that you are, you know, like you were, but maybe you're stronger in some ways. And you've certainly had some problems uncovered that we're still working on now. So we're not born with it. This is the biggest yay of all. When I was reading this, and then I have been doing my work and self-care and working with people, this, I want to say, is one of those sweet gifts in life. The sweet gifts. You know, you see people that, you know, it just seems like they're born, you know, on third base. You know, they just got a leg up on certain things. Sometimes you may go, it must be appearance. You know, if nothing else, if you've always wanted to be taller, if you wish you were kind of shorter, I mean, those things are very hard to remedy. You know, especially if, when you take your shoes off, heels don't count, and you can only squat so much without your knees being seen. So there's certain aspects of life we just have to deal with. But this is something we can change. Your resiliency, the amount of it, how you understand it, and whether or not you develop it, which is good. So we're not born with it. We can develop it through better thinking and self-management skills. And as we grow up, it said, as we grow up, and who, look, I started, how many of us have ever grown up? Well, some more than others. No, we were all kids once. I mean, I always tell someone, if you've made it this far, you've got to have some resiliency in you, given the world, you know, given even just the diseases that are childhood diseases, you know, given all the things that we used to do that now your parents will be arrested for if they let you do. Jump in the back of a pickup truck and haul a bunch of kids down the hallway and see what happens. Yeah, lots of things like that. And here's the other good news. It says, we develop resiliency as we grow and gain better thinking and self-management skills and more knowledge. As an educator, I'm like, hot dang, they said the beautiful word knowledge, as we gain more knowledge, as we learn. So the people who might not be so resilient are the people who may fear learning, who may not seek knowledge and change, who are afraid of that. Once we learn what resiliency is, then we can look at what we have. We can mine a little bit of what we have. We can claim what we already have. Oh, is that what that's called that I do, that I'm still here? Is that what that's called because I'm still getting up and going in? Is that what I'm doing because I can put one foot in front of the other? Or I can take one day at a time? That's what it is called, resiliency. Now, there's 10 factors that contribute to resiliency and to being resilient. And so this is the part of where we're learning. And I'm excited about it, as you can see. 1, close relations with family and friends. Family defined as however you define it, your personal definition. Family is who we make, or what we make, right? There's blood relatives, and then there's family. And it's wonderful if you have all in one, but a lot of times it doesn't come that way. But here's the thing with relationships, as I'm learning over and over, they wax and wane like our moon. Sometimes you're close, and others you're not. My neighbor, who tells me, nobody will come see me. The kids are too busy. Nobody will come. Oh, are you kidding me? They found out what's going on, and every single one and all of their families and all of their kids have come from as far as North Dakota during the busiest part, packed in cars because they can't afford to make the trip. His sister, his brother has come, and he has been amazed that resource is there to tap into, amazed that anyone in the neighborhood would care. No, it's there. But we have to tap into it. 2, a positive view of yourself and your strengths and abilities. Not too long ago, not too many years ago, you all did something called Strength Finders here, I do believe. And it helped identify your strengths. That's a good activity to do. And just to remind yourself of, you've got strengths. You've got skills. You've got strengths. You know, and claim those and think about your abilities. Now, if you're learning something new, you may feel like you don't have any abilities, you can't do it. And if you're in an environment where everybody is doing something that you can't do, or hello, you don't want to, maybe then you shouldn't, find that community of people who share and value those same strengths and jump in there with both feet. 3, the ability to manage strong feelings and impulses. I need to work on this. But the ability to manage those, it's very difficult. Because, not because you have a problem managing those as much as you will be tested on that. Everyone experiences stress and strife and bad things. Everyone. And so you will be tested. So when you feel out of control, one of the best ways to start feeling a little more in control is to understand that everybody has this feeling at some time of life of out of control. So when you reach for that bottle, that cookie, that drug, when you reach for online for illicit whatever, if you can remind yourself, it's okay. It's okay. You know? And go to some of the other things. I'm resilient. Yes, I can do this. Yes, I can. It can help. It can help. 4, the good problem solving and communication skills. Oh, there's books and books and books and books. There's classes and classes and classes on how to communicate. You know, and it's more than just talking, but communication and good problem solving. You know, good problem solving skills.
Number five, the feeling of being in control. It didn't say being in control. Most of us understand what a chuckle that is of, yeah, we're in control. It's that feeling that you can of being in control of something, which is why some of us make lists, right? And some of us even erase and go back to and add to the top, I got up this morning. Yay, I get to mark that off. Ah, high five myself. Woo! Okay, because I need to feel in control of something sometime, and some days that's about it, you know. Looking backward, reflection, that's good. Number six, which I love, seeking help and resources. Seeking help and resources is not about already having them. It's not about I have this inner pool of strength. No, even those Marines train. Those people we think so tough, the warriors of they went through training. Ask the drill sergeants. Ask them what they had when they first got there. Pre-shaved heads, you know, pre-tough tattoos, pre-rangers, those two women who, awesome, high five, if that's what you want to do, you did it, girls. Women, you did it, but you used to be little girls. You used to be, but you did it. And I love that. So, but you didn't do it by yourself. You didn't do it by yourself. And if you listen to them, and that's what I envied about that ranger training, not only the physical shape they're probably in after they heal, but that they did it with some camaraderie-ship. That there are people there saying, I would go through anything with this person. She can do it, and I got your back. And that's where you can get, you don't have to be a ranger to do that. You don't have to be a Marine. You don't have to be anyone but someone in a tight group of people you trust. Number seven, seeing yourself. This is very important. It's very difficult sometimes, especially if you are in family systems or cultural systems that encourage this. But seeing yourself as resilient rather than the victim. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Versus, I never could, I never could, I never could. There's a reason we tell that story to children. You know, going back to our childhood. Seeing yourself, I'm resilient. Yeah, everybody's going to fall. Everybody falls. Some of us just do it more publicly sometimes and more frequent. But it's not the number of falls. It's the number of times you get up, you know. And seeing yourself as oops versus I always fall. I can never run. I can never do it. Oh, you're hurting yourself worse than anyone else could. Would you tell that to a young child? If you were in charge of some children running through it and they fell, one of them fell, and you went over and said, yeah, I know you never will be able to. You can never do it. You might as well lie down there, kid. You would never say that. But did you say that to yourself? What about that little girl or little boy inside you listening to that kind of stuff? They might have already heard it all your life. You don't need to tell them it again. You need to say, yes, you can. Come on, let's go. Look what you've done so far. Number eight, coping with stress in healthy ways and avoiding harmful coping strategies. Harmful coping strategies, strategies that will hurt you in the long run. Strategies that will not help. That will make you feel good immediately, but will hurt you and others later. And there's lots of help books and ways to get through that. Number nine, which I love, is helping others. Isn't that great? By reaching out and helping others, you know, you help yourself. I've got a magnet on my refrigerator, and it's a hand with a bird sitting quietly on top, and it says, you know, sometimes when we comfort others, we comfort ourselves. And that's so powerful. Sometimes when we help others, we help ourselves. And also, it's not either or. You don't have to. In fact, I would want you to get something from it. You don't have to go, oh, no, I really don't want to do this, but I'm doing it all for you. Who wants that kind of gift? Come to my party, happy to be there too. You know, not just doing it for me. So you want to be sure that helping others and recognizing that you're doing something for you too. I'm happy to be here. My neighbor, Miss Lucy, I go see once a week, and we go to Cracker Barrel, and she always, thank you for coming to get me. Thank you for spending time with me. I said, Lucy,
I like you. I love this. This is a highlight of my week. I tell people at my employment. I tell everyone, I'll change my schedule, but I'm getting Lucy time. I don't care. I said, I like it. And that's a powerful gift, but it's also a powerful gift for me too. And then number 10, finding positive meaning in your life despite the trauma, despite the events, despite the depression, despite the worries, despite the addiction. Now, that doesn't mean you're la-la-la happy all your life. This is not about how to become Pippi Longstocking or whatever the example might be. It's not about that. It's because you grapple with the negative as well as the positive. And that's important to know. This is not about not recognizing the sadness of life. When we stand up here, and so many times I've been up here, and I love it when there's positive, and we need that positive, because you really bring people down if you don't. But at the same time, in recognizing the people who in Katrina who are not making it, the Ninth Ward that continues to get bowled over and suffers, you know, the people who are not rebuilding, I don't know, the anthropologists, the archaeologists or anthropologists' family, the anthropologist who was beheaded by ISIS. I'm like, really? Buddy, there's a threat, an anthropologist, you know? Yeah, that was beheaded by his family. So acknowledging that, but recognizing, man, he did some good work. He did some good work, and we hope and we'll work toward having that cease. So you need to know that all people experience loss. It may not be loss like we, I think, and sometimes the problem is when we judge others' loss, you know, when we judge others' loss, they get to have their loss. As an animal lover, as someone who sees animals as another form of human life that has every right to be here as much as we do, as someone who really sees it that way, I have so many things that pop up and surprise me. A new colleague just sent me this great video that I can show in class called Flying Fish Something or Another. I never got past it because it opens up with this guy at a fish market taking a fish and kind of putting it in the camera and playing with it. You know, blah, blah, blah. And then another one, oh, here's the flying fish, and they throw it over. And I'm going, oh, my God, these are dead bodies, and you just don't get it. That's my perspective. I understand it's not the norm, but I also understand that in my world, we ain't showing that in class, you know. But I understand, too, that and I get back to this, that people can improve and people can overcome resilience. I mean, overcome tragedies, overcome what they deem is losses to them, what they suffer in life. So, you know, back to, I lost my train of thought there a minute, thinking about flying fish. A little disturbing for me this early in the morning. But I say that because of my animals. You know, I rescue, and they are my family. They are part of my life. So people, you know, still to this day, you just need to get rid of those cats. You know, I'd be like saying this, oh, you need to get rid of those kids. Got too many, you'll get rid of some. That's what you need to do, you know. They're judging without meaning to, and judging my loss when I lose one, and judging, you know, my values because I value them. So you have to be very careful. There are people who are, you know, calamity because I get students kind of calamity because they're coming in and, you know, they didn't get a certain this or that or make it in the sorority or whatever. And it's really easy to judge, you know, like puppy love, as we used to call it, you know, and they'll tell you, oh, people, oh, it's puppy love. Don't worry about it. You know, you're judging those emotions, those strong emotions that people have. You honor that, you know, you don't have to ratchet it up, but honor that and realize that that's a loss for them. And then you want to help and be supportive, period. It doesn't have to be your loss. You just have to make room for someone else's pain and be there for them. So you can improve. I love that. I love that. But it also says that just because you've experienced loss and trauma does not mean that you will be resilient.
So please, one of the things it cautions is, it says trauma is not necessary for growth, and researchers do not suggest that traumatic events themselves or suffering are in any way good. Do not put people purposely through this under that it will make you grow. Oh, please. I despise that. But sometimes, in not knowing good intentions, they really end up hurting. In the meantime, if you're dealing with that, avoid trite comments about suffering and growth. You know, what? Well, if someone just tells you bad news, well, what doesn't kill us strengthens us, will make us stronger. Well, okay. You know, there may be research to support that, but that's not really what I want to hear right now, you know? And maybe it won't. If this was the case, there would be no suicide. There would be no sorrow so much that people could not recover from. Not everybody recovers from. Not everybody has these resources. Not everybody knows the value of PBS literature and scripture. Just say it. I briefly want to cover 5 common misconceptions, because once you know the good, we all know this misconception about it. The number one is resilience is a trait. It's not. You're not born with it. People say, well, either you have it or you don't. That's not true. Thank goodness we are very bright individuals and we can learn. Old dogs can be taught new tricks, you know. Just pull out the crunchies and see if what they learn the sound of cans and bags opening. Number 2, healthy families don't have problems. Anyone in social work will tell you what a joke that is, you know. All families have problems. Healthy, resilient families have coping and problem-solving skills. So, yeah, you have unhealthy families. You have families that are tested and not, some fail. And some just don't have what they need to cope. Or maybe they have coped negatively for a long time. There are families, like I said, that see themselves as victims, see their whole culture or their whole person as victims and live into that. And so can be very much a problem. Because you also communicate to others what your expectations are. Number 2, resilient people are independent, tough, and self-reliant. They don't need much from other people. That's a myth. That is a myth. Rugged individualism, and I quote, is a stereotype in American culture and a myth. Resilient people are resourceful, and friends and family are among their most important resources. They have strong social networks, close connections to family and friends, are able to self-disclose about the troubles to people close to them, and ask for help when they need it. This is why our military is struggling so with the rate of suicide and post-traumatic stress problems, is this myth of we are tough. Yes, you are tough, and yes, you are resilient to a point, unless you do not ask for help. They've left that. You've got to ask for help, and then you've got to provide it if you're an organization. Number 4, resilient people are immune to stress and negative emotions. Resilient people, research shows, experience just as much stress and negative emotions as anyone else, with just as much intensity. But they also experience positive emotions like gratitude, joy, kindness, love, and contentment. And they are eager to ask for help if they don't find it. Let's pull 2 here. Number 5, the last one. Adversity makes people stronger. That again, a myth. It can, and people can experience positive changes. But it's not the adversity. It's the process of working through it that makes people resilient and stronger. And then you gain not only connections, but you gain resources and strength and confidence that if I overcame this, I can overcome the next one. Maybe I can do it. And yes, you can. That's what you need to know. Yes, you can, with help. And there's lots of resources out there. What we're going to do in second hours, we're going to continue to cover some of this stuff. We're going to talk about some other important things related to this, like how do you develop it? what are some resources you can do, where do you get your fuel to keep going, and I've got a little handout for you in there too. I really want to leave you with that positive message, yes you can, because you know what, you already have. And that's the good news for the day. Thank you so much.